You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2010 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening devotion given by Brother Andrew Murg titled, God's Handiwork.
I want to say good evening to everybody. Hope you've had a wonderful day at Manuka. And I want to start off just a little bit. I always like talks that I find to be practical. No, that's not the right word. I always find talks that are practical. That's the word I'm trying to say. And I think my talk tonight may fall under that, because I find that I can put them into action fairly easily. And I always like talks that say you do this or you don't do that. The gray stuff is always hard for me. So I hopefully you'll find that my talk tonight is practical. And my talk is entitled God's Handiwork. But a better title may be Being Out in God's Handiwork, or Using God's Handiwork, or Taking Advantage of God's Handiwork. And it's my goal tonight to encourage you to be outside in nature and to maybe feel more in touch with God. But I realize that we're surrounded with a lot of nature here at Manuka, and maybe some of you have done the 7-mile hike, maybe some of you did the Multnomah Falls hike. Maybe you guys went up the gorge to the other waterfall, and you're thinking, well, Andy, I've been out in nature all week long. Well, my hope then is that maybe you'll put this talk back in your behind in your noggin there, and sometime in your future, when your timing's right, we'll say at this point, you'll pull this talk out, and you'll think, oh, yeah, I remember what Andy says. And then I have some slides with just some Bible verses on them. Because I don't necessarily consider myself that great of a speaker, and I think pictures can paint 1,000 words much more than I can do verbally. Some of the slides have some Bible verses on them that relate to the pictures, except for one slide, because I just like the verse, so I threw it in there. And you'll see which one it is when we get to it. And so let's get going. In all my travels that I've done, I consider three favorite views. And the first one is, as you go through the Wawona Tunnel, you go through a real dark area, you come out, and on the left-hand side there's a pullout, and you get this classic view of Yosemite Valley. On the left-hand side there, you can see that we have El Capitan, which is one of the largest granite faces in the world. And behind there, you can't see it in this photograph, you have Yosemite Falls, which is it's an incredible fall. And then behind there, on the right, you'll see that we have Half Dome. And I remember many years ago, I climbed to the top of Half Dome, and you can look down about 4,000 feet into the valley below, and it's an amazing view. And back behind there, we have the High Sierras. And I spent a summer working in the High Sierra once, in Yosemite, actually, back behind here. And I was surrounded by you know, peaks, meadows, trees, rivers, lakes. It was a fantastic, fantastic time to spend a summer. Fantastic place to spend the summer. Another favorite view I have is driving down Highway 191 in Montana. And if you drive down the road a little bit, you pull off on the side of the road, and you hike down a trail, and you'll see this cabin, which is called the Cunningham Cabin Historic Site. And if you duck down really low, you can go inside the cabin, and when you go inside the cabin, you can immediately tell why the cabin is oriented the direction it's oriented. And if you see through the holes that are on the other side, you can see a great view of the Grand Tetons. And they're amazing mountains. They jut really high up into the sky. They drop right down into the Jenny Lakes. And on a really calm morning, they're like a mirror image of the Grand Tetons, right there looking at you. And so it's one of my favorite views. My next favorite view is about 100 yards away from here. And that's sitting on that bench right at the end of the swimming pool. You know, because from there, you can look up the Columbia River Gorge and go right past Crown Point. And I've watched that view many times, sometimes in the mornings, sometimes in the evenings, but I never get tired of it. And the thing I like about it is it's looking out there, we're always looking the same direction, but we never ever see the same view. Because sometimes in the mornings, the sun's coming up, and the sides of the canyon are golden colored. Sometimes there's mist covering, and you can't really see the river, but then the mist will sort of evaporate, and you can start seeing the view. So the view always changes. But what I think of every time I look at all these views, these three, is how glorious God's handiwork is. Now, there's a closeness I feel to God, and I think we can all feel to God when we go outside away from the problems that we make for ourselves and spend time in what the Father has made. And we can look at chapter 1 in Genesis and see that it is good. This seems like a little loud to me. Am I loud enough or quiet? All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 20 and 21. And God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So he created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing on which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Also, let's look at verse 25. Maybe see a connection. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. And finally, verse 31. God saw all he had made, and it was very good. And there was the evening, and there was the morning, the sixth day. So I think if God made it and says it's good, or even very good, I think it's also good for us to be out in it. And what I love to do is I love to be out in nature and absorb all the sights, like listening to the birds, seeing the mountains, seeing the trees, and it allows me to fill my mind with the thoughts of God and his greatness. And it emphasizes to me that he is in control because he's made everything, and that he has all... I turned the sleep off, and maybe I didn't. I thought I did. And he has control of everything. And we read Psalm 104 a little bit, and I like that psalm because it really, I think, does a good descriptor of the creation. And to me, it's almost like a conductor. I mean, it's very... God was conducting things, and he was telling things to happen, and he was cutting things off. And I just really like those verses. And verses 5 through 10, it says, "He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. And at the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He made springs pour water into the ravines, and it flows between the mountains." And these verses, to me, show very vividly show God's power and his mightiness. And being outside in his creations, you can see that there's places you can go that were once covered with water. And we were actually up in Great Basin National Park a couple years ago, which is in the middle of Nevada. It's about 9,000 feet, and they have a huge limestone cave. And we were walking around, and they actually had rocks, but you could sort of see some animal shells in the rocks. So it showed that the whole earth was covered with water at one time, to me. And you can also scope places like sometimes Yosemite Valley in the spring, and you can see how much water flows off the cliff. And God's controlled that, and he's made that happen. And for me to think about how God created all that and controls all that is very awe-inspiring and very humbling. And I want to give you a little bit of a specific example. It was maybe 5 years ago, we went to Yosemite Valley for a camp out, a bunch of brethren, a bunch of families. And we went there in an April snowstorm, and it just sort of caught us off guard. But then I had to actually flatten out about 12 inches of snow to pitch my tent. And what was amazing was that all the peaks had this white blanket of snow covering them. And when I was looking around with my binoculars, staring at El Capitan, a big chunk of snow and ice fell off the cliff and fell about 4,000 feet to the valley below. But then the sun came out and things started to melt and the ground started to come out and the snow started melting off the mountains and all the cliff faces were streaked with water. And what we did as a group is we just walked and enjoyed the creation. And we actually walked over to under Half Dome where Mirror Lake is, and we had a beautiful lunch right there. And I think that everyone who was there really enjoyed the fellowship. And oh, I was going to do it again. The fellowship and the friendship out in creation. What really struck me strongly was on that Sunday we actually had a meeting out in the valley on this nice meadow right next to the Merced River, and we read scripture, we sang hymns, I think Brett Wickham gave the exhortation, and we broke bread in that environment. And it really, again, just gave me an amazing feeling about to the power of our Father's creation, and it really resonated in me. And I find that it is one of my favorite memories to this day. Now, Jesus would also go to the mountains. And Luke 22, verse 39 says, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And I think if Jesus does something as usual, shouldn't we do the same? Wouldn't it be wise for us to do the same? I know that the Mount of Olives is different than the mountains that we have around here, but I think that it can offer the same results. We tend to live very busy lives, right? We are constantly getting pulled one way or we're getting pulled another, and a lot of it sometimes are from our own self-made situations. We might lease ourselves to the world. We have cell phones that we can get connections everywhere. We have Wi-Fi connections to our laptops, and there's always deadlines that we have, either the work deadlines or our boss has expectations of us. We'll go through the slides one more time. And it's hard to separate ourselves from the world with what we have. Even at our Bible school here, sometimes we want to go get on the computer and check the internet. And I was down in the computer room just today on the computer. And that sort of pulls us into issues that we might be having to deal with. And we think that if we're connected, we're going to be productive 24/7. But what we need to be aware about is if we're not careful, we can let the schedules and the situations, the pressures and distractions get in our way how we feel close to our Father. So what I know is that God did not make all these distractions. He didn't make the internet for us. He didn't do all these things that might pull us a million and one directions. But he did allow us to use creation and for me to use creation to help remove those distractions and those pressures. And it helps me refocus on him. And being in nature and away from the distractions of daily life, it gives me a clarity of mind and a closeness I feel to God that, for me, is not found in a man-made world. And I think that this might be the same reason that Jesus also went to the mountains, to be closer to the Father, to get away from some of the distractions. I also think in the kingdom age, things God made, not man made, will be a part of our lives, maybe part more of our lives. And in Revelations 22, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each street, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of these trees are for the healing of nations." And I think nature in the kingdom represents a simpler time when we may not have to battle the distractions that fill our minds now. And in that time, the trees next to the river of life will offer healing. And I think that this is something that God's creation can do for us now. And then it can help us in the sense that it reduces the stress that we put on ourselves and it helps us feel better, which in turn helps us give more focus to see how the hand of God moves us more clearly in our lives. And so I just really wanted to encourage you to go outside and get close to God's handiwork and the power of creation, and let yourself get away from the pressures of your life and focus on Him. And go spend times with things God made rather than man-made. And He's made these places for us to use, and we can help remind ourselves of His greatness. And we're truly blessed, brothers and sisters, to live where we do and to have this Bible school in this location. And I want to encourage each of one of you to sit quietly in the chill of the morning or the cool breeze in the evening and look at the views. And even if you haven't looked yet, it's not too late. We still have about a day and a half left here at Manuka. And maybe you'll add the view up the Columbia River Gorge as one of your favorite views. But you don't have to let my favorite view be your favorite view. Maybe it'll be at the top of Larch Mountain where you get a view of Mount Rainier, Mount Hood, and Mount St. Helens. Maybe it'll be at the top of the bridge where you watch Multnomah Falls plunge 620 feet to the pool below. Maybe it's going to be right at the top of these ponds here where you watch the water skeeters dance on the surface tension of the water. But maybe you'll have to go and find your own special view. So wherever it may be, go, be in nature, in God's, which is God's creation, and see if your man-made problems and distractions fade to the distance, and see if you feel closer to the Father, and I'm sure you will. So thank you, brothers and sisters.